for drugs. The district is facing a lawsuit from that family now. An American could be making Olympic history in Vancouver tonight.
A short track speed skating star will compete in the 1,000 meter today.
I'm hoping Apollo Ohno gets at least one more medal because it'd be nice to have him the most decorated U.S. Olympian, Winter Olympian. And, you know, he's from Seattle, so yay, Seattle.
He is our hometown boy.
I know, exactly.
Ohno has 6 medals right now, but the real drama could come between Ohno and the Korean skaters, who pretty much can't stand him. If this were basketball, they would call Ohno a flopper. Ohno has contended physical interference should lead to disqualification. Korea won the gold in this game's 1500 meter. Ohno got silver. At the Winter Olympics in Vancouver, Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
It appears Facebook might be a bit off the rails today. Users are complaining they couldn't log in this morning. Others say the site's been running pretty slow. Facebook has about 4 million users. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here for the weekend. It looks like we got partly cloudy skies, high of 59 today. West winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Few showers a little later and a low of 45 with west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And Sunday, rainy, high of 55, south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Get about a half inch of rainfall on Sunday. And out there on the Monterey Bay, the northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 4 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. And tonight, west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet at 12 seconds, and a slight chance of rain. Sunday, southwest winds 5 knots, becoming south in the afternoon. Wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. And for your traffic update, there is nothing to report at this time. And the official time, 10:06 and 20 seconds on this Saturday, February 20th, 2010. Current temperature is 56 degrees here at KSEO, right outside our studio. And Santa Cruz. Up next, we've got the Saturday special with MZ. It's a special, special. Stay tuned, KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Nikki James.
You was just a teenager when the when the program that led up to this program.
13, I was a teenager?
13 and a half years ago. Yeah, weren't you a teenager 13 and a half years ago?
Hold on, I got to do some math. It's a little early for math. I may have been.
Okay. Yeah, so that
no,
was...
No, actually, I was in my 20s.
Oh, you were? Uh-huh. Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, sort of yeah. Like a compliment, right?
It is, actually. Thank you.
So, yeah, the day was December 14th in the year of our Lord, 1996. Where we had an epic Saturday special. Now, not much was accomplished on it.
Wait, you said 96?
Yeah, 1996.
Oh, you were right. I was a teenager.
Yeah, I didn't think you were great. That. How did you get it so old?
I don't know. I apparently I added a few years.
All right, so I don't know if you get to her. I called you at 6 in the morning and said you might want to listen to the program. Don't know if you had a chance to listen to any part of it. I was thinking of playing parts, but no. There's much too much positive stuff to take care of the next 2 hours. So, do you have some nice bumper music lined up?
You know, I always do.
What a dumb question. Forgive me. Well, let's start the show officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, KSCO Land. MZ proudly welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday special for Saturday, February 20th, 2010. And, All of us on the Saturday special are talk hosts, and the guests here on the show are much more experienced talk hosts than I because they're on a lot more frequently.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
is a longtime KSCO listener bulletin. Flashback to the Saturday special from December 14th, 1996, a day that will forever live in KSCO infamy, when new KSCO alternative health talk show host Dr. Joel Wallach tangled with well-respected medical doctor Stanley Monteith in a nasty, contentious radio duel that was by all counts the most memorable program ever broadcast on your favorite radio station. All of us, even the listeners, needed showers after all the hissing and spitting that went on during that epic program. Fast forward 13 plus years now to the present, when these two passionate and iconic gentlemen, having each mellowed considerably, will reconvene at the same venue, mostly on the same page. Can this be true? Do not, repeat, do not miss the next heartwarming KSCO special. This Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on C, we really can just get along if we will only pipe down and listen long enough to realize that respect is due radio, AM 1080 KSCO. Welcome, Dr. Stan, and welcome to Doc Wallach. I think you're both online with us, right? Hello, Doc?
I'm here.
You're there!
And I'm here as well.
Oh, good, good, good. Now, and you've both mellowed considerably, as it said in the promo. Now, I want to know, I want to ask each of you, what made you mellow considerably besides time? Maybe that's all it was.
Well,
I don't think I've mellowed.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I've just gotten sneakier.
Oh, maybe that's it.
Well, I really believe that we're facing a crisis today, a crisis in healthcare. People say healthcare is broken, and it really is. The problem is, what's the solution? And I think that both Joel and I are very concerned, and we have to work and do everything we can to help people, because people don't know what to do. I mean, people say, oh, we've got to give more power to government to solve the problem. The healthcare system is broken. Well, it was the government that broke it. You're not going to solve the problem by giving more power to government or the government alphabet agencies. We need to teach people how to look after their own health, when they need to see a doctor, when they need to stay away from the doctor. The trouble is that much of what is being done today by the medical profession does far more harm than good. And it's not because the doctors are bad, but because the medical system has been hijacked. And I think that men of goodwill have to work together to try to help the public who are trapped in a system they don't understand. And I think Dr. Wallach has a great deal of important information that needs to get out, and I respect him for that.
Well, those are very kindly words, and back to you, Stan. Appreciate that. And you're exactly right. If we work together, we can save America. We can save Americans. But, and I think they're ready today. I think 25 years ago, everybody was willing to let insurance companies pay for anything. And I actually came out with a CD that was entitled Until Death Do Us Part, because I believe that people would rather than take care of themselves, they were willing to let the system kill them. And I see a little bit of a sea change here, where people are looking for information at least.
And I agree with that. But, Dr. Stan, I've known you since 1968. So what is that, 42 years now? You used to lecture our American government class at Santa Cruz High School, Mr. Listener's class. It was a wonderful, wonderful class where I learned so much. We were exposed to all points of view. But I don't remember you talking about, you know, the medical system. In fact, as much more recently than that, only 13 years ago, 13 and a half years ago, you were quite offended, as were many of the medical doctors, by what you heard from Doc Wallach. A lot of it seemed to be almost like personally attacking the medical doctors, and I know that you don't agree with that now, and we can talk about that a little bit. In fact, I'd really like to start off the show with that here, because
though, and Doc and I have had our issues over the years. I've said to Doc, God, it was so much of what you say is so right on. It's such a powerful message. Do you have to badmouth the medical doctors? You know, why don't you just back off of that? And Doc says to me, what do you say, Doc?
Well, I say that if they didn't give me the material, I couldn't say those things. And you have to call the play as you see it. And when the Journal of the American Medical Association came out February 2nd, 2007, just 3 years ago, and they said that medical doctors in America inflict, this is the Journal of the American Medical Association, now the premier medical journal in the world, I believe, they came out and said that medical doctors inflict 15 million casualties on their patients each year in their workplace. There's a headline in the USA Today newspaper.
But not and, intentionally.
Well, let me break it down. Uh-huh. In hospitals each year, their workplace, right, 300,000 killed, just like John Murtha. John Murtha, U.S. representative for the state of Pennsylvania, a Silver Star-winning Marine from the Vietnam War. The headlines was he died of complications of gallbladder surgery. But then when you read into it, in the small print, they said the surgeon nicked his intestine going in to get his gallbladder out. He died of peritonitis, an infection of the bowel. The doctor killed him. Now, is it the doctor was inept that day? Did he have a bad hair day? Was he on drugs? According to the Harvard School of Public Health, Lucien LePay, the head of that department, a Ph.D. in public health at Harvard Medical School, says that 52% of medical doctors are intoxicated on alcohol or prescription or street drugs during their waking day. So was this doctor impaired? Did he have his hand up a nurse's skirt at the same time when he was cutting into John and killed him? I mean, I don't know, but he killed him. And so what do you call that? You have to call a kill, right?
Well, you know, I don't want to be contentious, but certainly I do not believe that most doctors are intoxicated during the daytime. But
well, according
I would rather...
to Lucien LePay, he said 52%, John.
Oh, well,
now,
let me finish. Okay.
Let me finish. We got 15 million to go through here. So in hospitals alone, there are 300,000 killed. This is according to the Journal of the American Medical Association. And also the Center for Disease Control out of a federal agency out of Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, this is headlines in the USA Today newspaper. Again, February 2nd, 2007, in the life section.
Well,
at any rate, then there was 1.3 million physical injuries. There's 2 million infections each year in hospitals alone, of which 100,000 or so die. 2.2 million untoward or bad drug reactions, of which 250,000 die, for 5.8 million killed, injured, and infected. 5.8 million casualties, and nobody gets an OSHA ticket. The other 9.2 million are killed, injured, and infected, either in the doctor's office or as a result of what the doctor prescribed from them in their office or did to them in the office. We're talking about another 400,000 killed in the doctor's private offices and clinic for a total kill each year by licensed medical doctors in the United States. And again, this is the Journal of the American Medical Association and the Center for Disease Control, a federal agency in Atlanta, Georgia. That's 748,000 Americans killed each year by medical doctors. Each year. Now, we went to war, you know, in the Middle East, Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, for foreigners killing 3,000 in New York. Here we have one group of men and women who inflict 15 million casualties, of which 700,000 and some change are killed every year. This is every year. And so, while I'm not picking on doctors personally, somebody needs to count the sponges that are left in. Somebody needs to count the retractors that are left in. Somebody needs to make sure that they put barcodes on medication instead of just having somebody who's impaired for one reason or another dispensing stuff to the wrong patients. They need to wash their hands. I mean, 2 million infections in American hospitals. I mean, we learned in the 1700s from Semmelweis, and I know you got to be a fan of Semmelweis, who was an Austrian guy who figured out infections were passed from the autopsy room to women having children, childbed fever, in the 1700s. And he said, hey, you got to wash your hands. And his colleagues committed him to an insane asylum where he mysteriously died. You know, he was found hanging from the ceiling with his hands tied behind his back. They said he committed suicide. A guy by the name of Semmelweis, right? And today we still have 2 million infections in hospitals each year, even though there's soap and water in every surgery room. It doesn't make sense to me. And so somebody is slipping somewhere along the line when maybe a Boy Scout would do a better job.
Okay. Well, I thought that we could get on the same page about the pharmaceutical industry sort of being behind all of this, and I think I think we are on the same page.
Well, first of all, I think most doctors really want to help their patients. I believe that most doctors are misled by the pharmaceutical industry. I think they're misled by the CDC, by the FDA, by the EPA.
You'd be proud of me, Stan. I sued the FDA 8 times and won.
And I believe, of course, that most of what the doctors get at their medical meetings and read in their journals misleads them. I believe that they're well-motivated, Sydney. We do have very real problems. And I don't know what happened to John Murtha, but I will tell you that the group that runs our nation hated John Murtha because, of course, he opposed the war over there. He had originally, as you know, was a military officer, a colonel in the Marine Corps, who supported the war. And then when he saw the futility of the Iraq War, why, of course, he spoke out against it. And he was targeted. I mean, I do not know what happened in surgery.
Who did the gallbladder operation murdered him?
I believe that I've had a number of instances, even people that I've interviewed on my programs, who've gone in for very minor surgery, who did not survive the surgery. And I hate to say that. Maybe it sounds a little paranoid, but I believe that there are people who hated John Murtha. And not that he wasn't a corrupt politician.
He was an American hero in the Vietnam War.
That. And not only that, but he was pointing out the absurdity of the war that we're fighting. I don't mean to digress too far. But for our listeners out there, I mean, why are we fighting in Afghanistan today? Well, Sydney, it was on the 14th of December last year when Steve Croft of 60 Minutes interviewed President Obama and asked him about the 30,000 additional troops we're sending to Afghanistan, pointing out that there was give us about 90,000 troops. And according to the Obama administration, there are only 100 members of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. So we've got, 90,000 troops, 104,000 contract workers. They're fighting 100 members of Al-Qaeda. Now, if you stop and think about it, doesn't really make sense. John Murtha was the sort of guy who was asking that sort of question. You're not supposed to ask that sort of question. Anybody who questions what I'm saying, why, of course, you can. I'll be glad to send you the transcript from the 60-minute program or speeches that have been given by Congressman Ron Paul. So I don't know what happened in that surgery, but I do know that on a number of instances, people I know who were very critical of the government died under very mysterious circumstances. Probably sounds a little paranoid. I think most doctors are well-motivated, but I agree with you. A great deal of harm is done. Why? Why? Because, of course, most of the medicines, or many of the medicines that are given, really should never be given, and I think you and I would agree on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I believe here's that one for you, John. I believe other than antibiotics, which can, like, kill strep throat,
right,
that sort of thing, other than antibiotics, can you name me a pharmaceutical that cures a disease?
Well, no, but I can name some that would tend to alleviate disease.
Well, of course, they can alleviate symptoms, but are there any drugs? Are there the 249,500 drugs, excluding antibiotics, is there a single prescription pharmaceutical that cures a disease? And the answer is no.
Well, I think that Digitalis is a drug that's been around for a long time.
I got a great story for you.
And I know the story, and I'll let you tell that.
Okay.
But I believe that Lasix takes the fluid out. Yeah.
Well, and what causes the fluid? See, that's what I'm getting at. Let me tell you a great story about Digitalis.
Right, fine. But I believe that, there is a place for medicines. But I believe that many of the new medicines, and I'm talking about these things that make $1 billion a year, like the statin drugs that you and I would agree on, are really criminal. The fact that they're being utilized, it makes billions of dollars a year. And if you look at the package inserts, which the doctors do not do, they would realize that they've been taken. But go ahead, tell your story. It's a good story.
Yeah, if they don't read, it's a great story about Digitalis. It actually is negligence on their part if they don't read that insert every time they use a drug, especially one that can kill you. Okay, it's negligence on their part, so I can't forgive them for that. Now, For people who don't know, digitalis has actually originated, digoxin originated as an alkaloid, a phyto drug. It's actually a drug that came from a plant called the foxglove, and it was used originally in Europe by witches, you know, people who were just women who were herbalists that the medical doctors looked at as witches because they could deal with congestive heart failure where the medical doctors couldn't because they were using this foxglove herb, which has this digoxin in it. Well, about 2 weeks ago now, I was in Chicago giving a lecture, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, I had a bishop of a large series of churches, has 200 churches in his group of churches as bishop, and for 5 years, he had been diagnosed with pure, uncomplicated congestive heart failure, which is very rare, without all the other stuff that goes along with it. His pulse was like 103. He couldn't lay down flat because his chest would fill up with water, and he was drowning, and so he couldn't sleep. He had anxiety. They told him that he also had sleep apnea as a result, and they wanted him to get a CPAP machine. He was on three different brands of digitalis. He was on four different diuretics to try and relieve him of the fluid, but nobody told him to put a couple of bricks underneath the head of his bed so he could sleep, and, of course, the fluid wouldn't get above his belly button, but nobody told him that. They wanted to sell him a CPAP machine. Now, also, uncomplicated congestive heart failure is, in fact, the terminal event of beriberi, a thiamine deficiency. So this is 1 o'clock in the morning. I just happen to have some thiamine capsules that contain mega doses of thiamine. I'm talking 3,333 times the minimum daily requirement for thiamine, which is like 1.5 milligrams. This is like 3,000 milligrams, right, per capsule. And so I gave it to him, and I called him in 36 hours to see how he was doing. He slept for 6 hours for the first time in 5 years. His pulse dropped down to 82. His blood pressure dropped into the normal range, and he was able to walk around the block without being breathless. When I first met him, he couldn't walk 3 feet without having to sit down and turn blue from breathlessness and hypoxia. And he was on this heart transplant list. Five cardiologists had been working with him for 5 years. They had done all the blood work. They were just waiting for the heart. He says, if I get a call to get my heart right now, I'm going to have to run and leave you, doc. And so in 36 hours, with one vitamin, thiamine, which is the cure for uncomplicated congestive heart failure, which again is the terminal event of beriberi, and beriberi is caused by a thiamine deficiency. In 36 hours, everything was gone. He's a healthy guy again.
But I would just point out that some congestive heart failure is due to beriberi, no question. But not every case of congestive heart failure is due to that.
Well, sure, there's complicated ones that are due to liver disease.
Right. And so,
they have a valve problem or they have kidney disease. But I'm telling you, this was uncomplicated, and I questioned it even for a half hour.
Well, I mean, there's no question that I'm sure some of the cases are related to vitamin B1 deficiency. And so what we need to do is get people looking for that sort of thing and looking for the, but there are lots of things. For instance, most people are magnesium deficient. And
yep.
Many people who have a sudden tachycardia, many of the people out, the runners, guys, he's great shape. He's out running, you know, and all of a sudden he drops over dead. He drops over dead because he has tachycardia, auricular fibrillation, and he has this because he's magnesium deficient. And the doctors are not looking for magnesium deficiency. So there are many, many causes for a lot of these things. Many of them relate to vitamin or mineral deficiencies. And what we need to do, rather than attack doctors, try to educate them or educate the patients so that they can get this information to their doctors.
Just like the pharmaceutical companies are doing. They're the major advertisers on network television, and they're bypassing the doctors. They're telling the patients, go tell your doctor what you want.
And
well,
absolutely.
The problem is, for one drug in the pharmaceutical industry, you get $2 billion worth of profit every year for Lipitor. Well, we don't have a product that gives us $5,000 worth of profit, let alone $2 billion. So how do you compete at an advertising level? So what I've done is, over the past 45 years here, is give 300 free lectures a year to anybody who will come in and listen. The crowds are growing. The crowds are like 10 times bigger now than they were 10 years ago because people are interested. And you're exactly right. Actually, for that particular thing, John, I actually have a CD out called Dead Athletes Don't Lie. We talk about these mineral deficiencies that cause, as you point out, tachycardia, arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, heart disease. which kill athletes because they're sweating out the nutrients. And sweat is not just water, as you know. It's a soup that contains all the nutrients. If you're sweating them out and not supplementing to return them to your body, Gatorade has two nutrients. You can't replace magnesium with Gatorade because there's no magnesium in Gatorade. You can't replace selenium in Gatorade because there's no selenium in Gatorade. And so these are real problems. In fact, just a couple of months ago in the Detroit Marathon, three long-distance runners dropped dead of a cardiomyopathy heart attack, and the pathologist came out and said, oh, they died because they weren't in good enough shape when they ran. Well, that's nonsense. These guys have been running the marathon for 20 years. They know exactly what to do. But they sweat out all their nutrients, and they died of, in this case, a selenium deficiency, which is the cause of cardiomyopathy.
So I think it's important that people begin to learn about nutrition. They begin to learn about the dangers of much of what they eat. For instance, the FDA has authorized the use of aspartame in food. It is a deadly poison, and it actually destroys every aspect of our physiology, and yet it's in our food, allowed there for 15 years before 1980. The FDA scientists knew this. They tried to keep it out of the food chain, and then, of course, it got in the food chain, and anybody in the FDA who tells the American people the truth would lose their job. Certainly, they're poisonous with the fluoridation of the water. They're poisonous with vaccination process and the mercury in that. They're poisonous with genetically altered food, with high fructose corn syrup.
What about Vioxx?
No question at all. And I think it's so important that you and I join together trying to educate the people that you can't depend upon the alphabet soup agencies, starting it out with certainly the AMA, the ADA, the CDC, the EPA, the FDA, the NIH, the NIR, or NCR, because these people are government bureaucrats, and they are told, do not tell the people the truth. And work in conjunction with the drug agencies, let me finish, and the controlled media, they are simply poisoning our people. We need to reach the people and get them the truth.
Okay, Dr. Stan, what I started to say earlier and got, because I must have ADD myself, and got sidetracked. 42 years ago, I used to hear you talk about secret societies and so forth. I never, ever heard you talk like I'm hearing you talk now about the government agencies and the FDA and so forth and the pharmaceutical and big pharma and so forth being evil, you know.
Right.
I mean, you freely use that term.
Right.
And I agree with you. And I've come to, I've said this before, my own doctor, whom I think the world of, has told me years ago that I need to be on a statin drug, or he highly recommends it, and I respectfully declined. I just don't believe that there's anything to be there's any benefit to statin drug for me. I believe that if I take a statin drug, I'm going to be worse off than if I don't take a statin drug. But what is it that changed you? Because I think that as recently as 8 or 10 years ago, I didn't hear you talk about, you know, these kinds of things.
Well, I think it really was a trip to Elberton, Georgia. I mean, I was very much involved with the California Medical Association in the 1980s and early 1990s. And then in an effort to try to address the AIDS epidemic as a public health issue and try to stop people from dying in the United States and throughout the world, because at that time we were not doing anything logical to stop the spread of AIDS, and we are still avoiding using the standard effective public health techniques in the United States and throughout the world that would stop the spread of this disease that has literally killed tens of millions, perhaps even hundreds of millions of people, because they're lying to us about the death from the disease. And when I went to Elberton, why there's a monument there, a Druid monument, that talks about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. It's in 8 different languages, engraved in stone. Very few people have heard of the Georgia Guidestones. And I suddenly became aware of the fact that there really are people who want to kill off the majority of the world population. Now, I didn't want to believe that.
About why, when you why see did you it go there? Why did you go there?
Well, because somebody told me about it, and I wanted to see it. And perhaps that would explain the AIDS epidemic. Well, then, of course, I began to understand we weren't trying to stop the spread of AIDS because there really are people who want to kill off the majority of the world population. This led me into a study of the population control agenda. They are working to destroy the fertility of the people in America, to kill off large numbers of people. And really, this is working and working very effectively. And the average American has no idea what's going on. And this extends into the pharmaceutical industry. There is no justification for the use of statin drugs. Why? They work very efficiently. They lower your cholesterol. They do it by poisoning the liver. But all of the complications, and I'm sure Joel can talk about this much better than I can, but certainly you need cholesterol for your brain. Your brain is primarily made up of fats and cholesterol. And what happens when you take the cholesterol? Why you lower the cholesterol, you take it out of your brain, and your brain doesn't function as well. Your heart doesn't function well. You suppress the coenzyme Q10.
So there was never a time where you bought into this statin drug thing?
Well, not once I began to study it and began to look at the large-scale studies, which I'm sure Joel can probably discuss better than I can, but there are all sorts of meta-analysis. If you read the literature, if you even read the package insert for Lipitor, well, they will tell you, if you've never had a heart attack or a stroke and you use their product, it'll decrease your death 30%. Now, how do they calculate that? Well, they give 100 people, take 100 people, they give them a placebo, and over a period of time, three of them will die. They take another 100 people, they give them Lipitor, and two of them die. And the difference between 2% and 3% is 30%. So this will protect you 30% of the time. The old adage, figures don't lie, but liars can figure, is true of Lipitor. I'm sure there's not one in 1,000 doctors who's ever read the Lipitor insert, but everybody taking it ought to read it and understand it's a scam and it's doing irreparable harm. And most doctors not even told that it lowers the CoQ10, which is absolutely essential for the function of the heart and leads to progressive congestive heart failure, another cause of it, in addition to beriberi. Okay, Joe, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's even more sinister than that, John, because...
Stan.
Excuse me, Stan. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'm looking at John Edwards here.
Okay. Well, I'm faithful to my wife. Go ahead.
You're a good man. That's why I love you. Okay, Stan, it's even more sinister than that, and that's because... there's no need to lower cholesterol because cholesterol doesn't cause any disease. Now, you can find cholesterol. Remember, I'm a pathologist. I've done over 20,000 autopsies, about 5,000 in human beings. And I can tell you, and I actually wrote some papers on this exact subject. It appeared in international pathology journals for humans. And there's no diseases that are caused by elevated blood cholesterol. Elevated blood cholesterol is caused by diabetes. The two trace minerals that are missing that are required for your insulin to work and lower your blood sugar also required to lower your blood fats. So when you're deficient in these two trace minerals, not only your blood sugar goes up, but your blood fats go up. Your triglycerides and your cholesterol goes up when you have diabetes. Also, the same thing happens when you have hypothyroidism or goiter. You can have deficiencies of niacin will result in elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides. You can have deficiencies of chromium vanadium. You can have deficiencies in ratio problems between the omega-3, 6s, and 9s, all of which will raise cholesterol. But elevated blood cholesterol and triglycerides do not cause a single disease. They do not cause a single disease. So in the effort to lower cholesterol, which is like blaming a forest fire on the ashes rather than the guy who threw the match into the forest, in the effort to lower cholesterol, I would say that Alzheimer's disease is a pharmaceutical company/physician caused disease, because 75% of your brain weight is this myelin, this fatty insulation material in the brain, and myelin is almost 100% cholesterol. You start lowering cholesterol, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. It didn't occur even by another name 40 years ago. Today it's the number four killer of people over the age of 65. And baby boomers are pretty much all going to get Alzheimer's disease because they believe that doctors were gods with a little g, and they wanted to do whatever they had to do to live to be 100. And when doctors said, hey, you need to eat egg beaters instead of eggs, use margarine instead of butter, eat boneless, skinless chicken breasts, eat tofu instead of red meat, and take Lipitor and other cholesterol statin drugs to lower cholesterol, you'll live to be 100. So every baby boomer jumped on that. And now not only do they have Alzheimer's disease, but they're getting ED, erectile dysfunction. Every other ad on TV tonight, you know, after 10 o'clock at night, is an ED, erectile dysfunction drug. Viagra, of course, one of the preeminent ones. And then there's Bob on TV and so forth, hawking his stuff. And what happens is steroid hormones such as testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, and adrenal hormones are all made from cholesterol. Cholesterol is the basic building unit of all these steroid hormones. And so to be on a low cholesterol diet, you're going to get erectile dysfunction, and suddenly now the pharmaceutical industry has a whole new demographic they can market to. Alzheimer's disease is a cholesterol deficiency, and mark my words, Stan, within our lifetime you're going to see huge headlines the size of VJ Day and VE Day, your victory in Europe and victory in Japan, the whole front page of the newspaper, that cholesterol is an essential nutrient, just like calcium and vitamin C. And it's absolutely criminal for anybody to try to lower cholesterol. I'll throw one more little thing in here. I get people come to me and they brag. They say, well, my doctor says they're jealous because my cholesterol is 90. I can eat 25 eggs a day and my cholesterol is 90. Well, they have celiac disease or irritable bowel syndrome or ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, and they cannot absorb nutrients, including cholesterol, and they wind up with 20 diseases, legitimately diagnosed 20 different diseases because of that malabsorption. And doctors will tell them that having a cholesterol of 90 naturally, and you can eat anything you want, and it's beautiful, you can't get above 90 in your cholesterol, that's a life-threatening situation. And so the whole thing on cholesterol is absolutely criminal.
All right. We are going to take a commercial break now. You're listening to the Saturday Special with guests Dr. Stan Monteith and Dr. Joel Wallach. We're after the commercial break. We're going to open the phone line. So if you have a question or a comment, now is the time to start dialing 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to participate via email, the address is mz@ksco.com. I guess you can send a fax to 475-2967. But since that's in the other room, if you do a fax, call Nikki at 475-1080 and let her know to go get it. Not too many people use faxes anymore, but once in a while we do. Anyhow, it's a Saturday Special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. I'm MZ. Nikki is in control here, and we will be back after these messages. Stay with us.
It's a great time for a fresh start. Hello, I'm Dr. Duncan McCollum, chiropractor and director of the McCollum Wellness Center in Santa Cruz. It is a great time for a fresh start, and to help you get started, I'm inviting you to lose 7 to 11 pounds of unwanted fat in the next 9 days. That's the average. Here's the magic. Our body stores toxins in fat cells to protect our vital organs from their harmful effects, and will resist burning those fat cells to keep the toxins from being released into the bloodstream. Cleansing can remove the toxins, allowing us to safely burn off the fat and lose the weight. It is a great time for a fresh start, so start today by detoxifying and losing those pounds.
Lose 7 to 11 pounds of real fat in the next 9 days. Call the McCollum Wellness Center right now and register for the next free detox and weight loss workshop. The first 10 callers will receive a free body composition analysis, adrenal stress test, and evaluation. $100 value. That's the McCollum Wellness Center, 459-9990, or McCollumWellnessCenter.com.
For your farm or large property, you'll be amazed at what you can do with John Deere utility tractors from Pringle Tractor. Check out their lineup of 6D series utility tractors with powerful high torque, low emission PowerTech diesel engines. They have the power and handling to tackle the tough work. Or upsize to a John Deere 6030 series or small frame 7000 series. They come with a full frame design for greater durability, and they have the industry's most comfortable cab. These tractors are built to last and priced to move, so stop in today and let the experts at Pringle Tractor help you find the equipment you need. Pringle Tractor also has the parts and service you need to keep your operation running. You don't have to go far for your new John Deere. Just get to Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or visit them online at PringleTractor.com, your local John Deere dealer for over 50 years.
When you have land, you have work to do. When your work gets to be too much, call on me. I'll bring in the equipment. Hello, I'm Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development here in Santa Cruz. Turnpike Development has over 34 years clearing, trenching, mulching, preparing, retaining, and grading sites. Turnpike's work is to make your work easy. Listen.
Hi, this is Mark Johnson. I'm a project manager with the local South Bay General Contractor. I hired Bruce McCampbell and Turnpike Development to do my septic tank and leach field system, some on-site electrical service, some water service and tanks for my well, and they did an excellent job. He was organized, he was on time, he was thinking ahead. He was overall easy to work with and had the right price. Absolutely, I'd recommend Bruce.
When your land gets to be too much work, call Turnpike Development. We'll get you a free, no-obligation estimate on what it will take to make your work easy. We are Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712, or turnpikedevelopment.com. Make it easy with Turnpike Development.
Here's a little tip you can take to the store. If you don't know where the honey comes from, you don't know what's in the honey. And if that honey comes from China, well, you better walk the other way. Hi, this is Dana Mum at Pacific Crest Apiaries. As local beekeepers, husband Ed and I proudly feature raw honey. That's right, our honey comes directly from the hive without being overheated and is never overfiltered or diluted. Pacific Crest Apiaries honey is pure and raw. At our Pacific Crest Apiary store, you'll find lots of our delicious honey, including a wonderful selection of teas, pure beeswax candles for any and all occasions, and gifts you or a loved one will cherish forever. Treat yourself to a wonderful trip to the country with a short drive to Pacific Crest Apiaries. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road. Weekends 10 to 6 and Monday to Wednesday 12 to 4. For more information and directions, PacificCrestApiaries.com.
A proud member of Think Local First, Santa Cruz County.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that.
Great bumper music. I'm tempted to leave that on forever. Welcome back. We're in hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. I'm MZ. With me in the studio is Dr. Stan Monteith. And on the telephone is Doc Wallach. And you're in Fort Wayne. Where are you, Doc?
Today? I'm actually in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. You are literally in a different locale every day.
Yes, I've actually put on for 45 years now. I've been putting on 300 free lectures every year.
When I first became acquainted with you, and you told me that, I was polite and I nodded my head and I said, "This man is crazy. He's exaggerating." But you're not.
I'm not exaggerating. No,
you're not
exaggerating. Quite
it is quite factual. I've seen you. I've seen you operate. And I keep thinking, don't you ever want to be home? I mean,
well,
you're always out traveling. You're always out lecturing.
Well, here's where Dr. Stan Monteith and I kind of agree. If you remember back in 1776 when everybody, Stan, pledged their everything they owned and their sacred honor?
Their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor, right?
Exactly. Their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Well, that's what I've done here, is I'm pledging everything. I've sued the FDA 8 times, won 7.5 times, and so I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I spent a lot of time today, and we're doing this 2-hour great show with Mike and you and me. I already put on a 2-hour lecture this morning. I'm putting on a 3-hour lecture this evening, so that's 2 today. And, you know, 2 lectures plus this 2-hour radio.
You never get tired.
Well, no, I take you know, the mighty 90s, I'm never tired.
It's true.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that we circumvent the controlled media and, of course, the pharmaceutical industry, their outreach to the television, what the government is telling the doctors, which isn't true, with the medical journals.
See, we can do that with the internet. Right. We can do that with the internet right now. We can circumvent it. But how long can we do that? Because Obama, the Obama administration, is talking about controlling the internet now.
Well, we have to do as long as we can. If we can convince enough people that somebody is poisoning them, endangering their lives and the lives of their children, we can build a grassroots support of understanding. And at least those people who begin studying nutrition, begin learning about nutrition, and they're going to have to start looking after their own health, because unfortunately they cannot necessarily trust the pharmaceutical industry or their agents, who are mostly physicians, to do what's best for them. And it's not because the doctor doesn't want to do what's right. It is because he doesn't have access to the information.
Well, it's conditioning. The medical colleges are all endowed by the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
So they can.
Stan, Mike, let me ask Stan a question on this very subject. Right now, we rank 50th in the world, according to, again, the Center for Disease Control, the World Health Organization, the CIA. We actually rank 50th in longevity. There's 49 other countries whose peoples are healthier and live longer than us, and we pay three-quarters of the world's annual expenditure for health care. In 1990, we ranked 17th. 2000, we ranked 24th. 2005, we ranked 46th. 2008, we ranked 48th. And last year, we ranked 49th. Now we rank 50th. Obviously, whatever recipe we're using is incorrect. Why don't we have a group of physicians who say, well, Albert Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. How come there's not a group of physicians, kind of like Semmelweis, who said, wait a minute, we have a problem here. Why are all these women who come here to deliver babies in the medical wing of the hospital, we have so many of them die of childbed fever, and over with the midwives, they don't have anybody dying of childbed fever. Well, look at here. The midwives, just out of sheer courtesy, wipe their hands, wash their hands, and doctors come out of the autopsy room, wipe their bloody, filthy hands covered with pus and blood and gore on their aprons, and they go deliver a baby, and that's why. When he told them, they just all went crazy. He said, well, we're doctors. You can't be saying that we're passing on the infection. Well, how come it's just you and me? How come there's a million licensed MDs in America? How come there's not 100,000? How come there's not 20,000 who are saying we have a problem here?
We have to try to reach them, and we're going to have to reach them through their patients. And that's why I do what I do. And we do have a small group of people who listen to my radio programs on the internet, shortwave, satellite.
Are they doctors or are they patients?
No, these are doctors. But I'll tell you, we got a lot more patients out there, and the people are telling people are telling people. That's what you're doing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
network
doing.
Marketing, people we, telling we, people.
Joan, you start a long hike with the first step, and that's what you and I are doing.
Okay, well, why don't we get together and have a little meeting with these 10 doctors, and you and they and myself. That's what we need to do, because we need to create a critical mass of professional people here. You know, I deal with over 4 million people a day using the internet who are just average people. These are high school graduates. Most of them don't have any education above high school. And, you know, the fact is that the average lifespan, according to the the average educational level, according to the New England Centenarian Study, where they follow and track 100-year-olds, the average education is 8th grade. There's no physicians who are on the staff at Harvard Medical School or Purdue or Duke or Loyola. There's none of the professors who are medical doctors live to be 100.
Doc, I'm feeling really bad because we have totally jammed phone lines, and we got to let the people talk to us all.
Okay.
So here's our first caller, Gerard in Santa Cruz. You're welcome. Welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Gerard.
Yes. Hi. How are you doing? Thanks
Good.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to ask a little selfish question, because about 6 years ago I came down with rheumatoid arthritis really bad, and I just wanted to ask the doc if he can give me one of his products that would probably be the best for me, because I want to go down and buy it like today.
Oh, Okay, real quick, but that's not what we want to use this program for, okay? That's what Dead Doctors Don't Lie is for, during the week.
Real quick, rheumatoid arthritis is not an autoimmune disease where your body's attacking itself, which is what's taught to medical students. Rheumatoid arthritis is actually an infection with a bug called mycoplasma. And mycoplasma is actually a respiratory bug, but it gets in the bloodstream, sets up housekeeping in the joints. And I don't care if you've had it for 23 years and you're all disfigured, it is reversible, very simply, by treating the degenerative disease. About 75% of the people with rheumatoid arthritis also have degenerative arthritis and osteoarthritis. So what you do is you take the Pig Pack Plus, appropriate for body weight, take 15 glucogel capsules a day, which is the 5 at breakfast, 5 at lunch, 5 at dinner, which is the raw material to support and promote healthy maintenance and repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons, connective tissue, disc between the vertebrae, joint capsules, tendon sheaths, and then to actually kill the bug and relieve the pain, you can use, we actually have some great aromatherapy oils. One's called eucalyptus globulus. Another one is trauma oil. It's a blend. You can put colloidal silver. You can inhale it. You can actually rub it on the joints that are affected, and it will go transdermally into the joints and actually kill the bug.
Wow, I didn't realize
that. Okay, yeah, Gerard, call Dead Doctors Don't Lie during the week, okay?
All right, that's not
what this program is for, but appreciate your call. Ken and Aptosh, you're next on the Saturday special.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Dr. Wallach, I've listened to you probably 9 years since I moved down to Santa Cruz, and I've taken some of your advice and taken some of your products. I'm also a diabetic type 1 since age 9. I'm 63, and I've take insulin, and he's got me, the doctor's got me on Vitorin,
VYT. Hey, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Ken.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I told the last person. This is not the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program. We do that every day. I don't want people calling this Saturday special to ask Doc Wallach what to take about this and that. That's not why we have him on, okay? Marcella and Salinas, you're on the Saturday special.
Hi, Dr. Wallach and Dr. Stan and MZ. Two quick questions. This is not personal. Can you comment on that McCain bill to require prescriptions for vitamins?
That's what we're here for. That's a great question. Thank you.
And one other thing, very important. Years ago, Dr. Wallach, I heard you say something that I hope you retract. You said if you eliminate sugar from the diet, the kids with autism will recover. To me, that is total nonsense. Please clarify what you meant. And I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Okay.
I think Marcella has two autistic children, but go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, if you go back to 1900, there was one kid with autism per 10 million. When you go back to 1980, there was one autistic kid per 1,500. Today, there's one autistic kid per 150. And basically, it's a total, in fact, I was talking about that at the lecture this morning with a group of people who are kind of seniors, and they all have autistic or ADD or ADHD grandkids. And I said, well, what did you eat for breakfast when you were kids? And they all said, well, we had eggs for breakfast. Well, the kids today, whether they've been breastfed, which can be very, very bad, in a perfect world, breast milk is good, but in a bad world, if the mother's digestion is bad, then breast milk is very dangerous. But the autistic kids now, whether they're barn normal and they're weaned off of breast milk or formula onto fruity pebbles and apple juice, how do you build a good brain without the basic raw materials for neurotransmitters such as phosphatidylserine, phosphatidylcholine, things like omega-3s and 6s, proper ratios, good fats, cholesterol? How do you get cholesterol out of fruity pebbles and apple juice? You can't. And so to expect kids to have a good brain living on fruity pebbles and apple juice is absolutely insane. And this is the problem. A lot of people want to point their fingers at the vaccinations. And I kind of investigated that. Being a kind of an investigative reporter, and I'm on the road. I'm in groups every day all across this great country. And so what I did is start looking at batch numbers of vaccines. The same batch numbers of vaccines, the same manufacturers, the same raw material sources are used in Africa and Asia and Europe and South America and Canada. And guess what? I think 85% of the diagnoses of autism is in the United States. And so if it was the vaccine, there should be an equal percentage of people who are vaccinated all around the world getting it, and it's just not true. Because when you go and you look at how the Danes feed their kids, they get fish and cheese and eggs for breakfast. They don't get Fruity Pebbles and Mott's apple juice. They don't get things like the waffles with syrup on it and then Welch's grape juice. They don't get Sunny Delight and Pop-Tarts for breakfast. They're getting fish, which has the omega-3s and vitamin E in it. They're getting eggs, which have just about everything in it. And then they're getting cheese, which is a great source of protein and vitamins and minerals. And so you can't compare kids who are being fed cheese and eggs and fish for breakfast with kids who are eating Fruity Pebbles and apple juice for breakfast. And you can't make good brains on carbohydrates. You just can't. And so that's the difference. And when you look at it, it's very, very simple. If we were to put every one of these kids, even ones who have been diagnosed with autism, obviously there are some who are born that way, not, you know, a small percentage, and I blame the OBGYNs for not putting the mothers on a complete nutritional program prior to conception. If they do that and the mothers don't have celiac disease so they can absorb the nutrients, we won't have any kids born with autism. And if we wean them off of breast milk or from formula onto eggs and cheese and fish for breakfast instead of Fruity Pebbles and apple juice, we won't have any autistic kids.
I would just put my two cents in here on this. Basically, we did not see an epidemic of autism until about the 1990s when it really began. And certainly today in America, one in every six...
We'll have to hold that until after the news. Fine. I'm sorry, Dr. Stan. It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. There's another hour ahead. Stay with us. Here's Fox News. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. President Barack Obama says Alexander Haig was a great American. He was long a prominent figure in American politics, a four-star general, President Reagan's Secretary of Defense, and President Nixon's chief of staff. He died in Baltimore today at the age of 85.
Literature of Watergate records it was Haig who, as Deputy National Security Advisor under Henry Kissinger, helped the Joint Chiefs of Staff to spy on Nixon and Kissinger. Haig, who as chief of staff withheld from Nixon the news that his taping system would soon be exposed. And Haig, who, in the final days, worked behind the scenes to broker a deal for incoming President Gerald Ford to pardon the ex-president and seal off his papers and tapes. Haig always denied any role in these intrigues, especially concerning the pardon.
There never was a deal. There was never an offer of a deal.
And he dismissed Watergate as standard partisan warfare in Washington.
Fox's James Rosen reporting. Fox News has learned the White House will come up with updated health care reform proposals on Monday. In his weekly address, President Obama asked for bipartisan cooperation in getting health care reform off the ropes.
It's our chance to finally give Americans the peace of mind of knowing that they'll be able to have affordable coverage when they need it most.
Republicans looking at it a different way.
If the starting point for this summit is more of the same backroom deals and partisan bills, then this meeting will likely be a charade.
Michigan Republican Dave Camp speaking for the GOP in its weekly response. It's official. The Justice Department is closing the books on its investigation into memos from Bush administration lawyers that authorized the CIA to waterboard terror suspects. An internal review released yesterday says those lawyers showed poor judgment but did nothing illegal. It might be over for the Justice Department, but not for lawmakers. Judiciary Committee Chairman Patrick Leahy says he's going to be holding a hearing on the situation later this month. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox Business Network.
All things digital. Walt Mossberg is back with us, personal technology columnist at the Wall Street Journal.
One of the interesting things about the Mac over the last few years is it's been able to run Windows, and there are several ways to do it. The two most popular have been products called Parallels and VMware Fusion. And Parallels was first after Apple switched to Intel chips, and then Fusion came along and was, in my opinion, faster and handled graphics better, so I recommended it. But now, Parallels has come out with its fifth version, and I think it has leapfrogged Fusion so that when you install it, you can run Windows and Windows programs simultaneously with your Mac. And in my test, it worked faster than Fusion, and it handled particularly the graphics in Windows 7 better.
Be listening for more Encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
On the opening day of the Afghan parliament, President Hamid Karzai is asking NATO troops to be more careful of civilians.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has called on the coalition forces to pay more respect, to be even more vigilant about protecting the lives of non-combatants. So far, 15 civilians have been killed in the last week.
It's been difficult to stay out of the way of civilians as troops continue their massive offensive against the Taliban. Taliban snipers have been seen nesting in residential compounds. American Marines and Afghan soldiers have been moving forward through poppy fields, dodging that Taliban gunfire. One Marine platoon commander says, "We've been hurling lead all day." The commander of U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan says he's expecting casualties to worsen in Afghanistan. But General David Petraeus, speaking at Princeton University, says the U.S. is getting the backing it needs to keep the Taliban down. As for Iraq, Petraeus says the military is on pace to shift away from a combat mission there. NASCAR goes west for the next race in the Sprint Cup Series.
It's week number two as the Sprint Cup Series heads to Fontana, California for the Auto Club 500. And Jamie McMurray, the current points leader, thanks to his Daytona 500 win, says he's ready.
I feel really good about the cars that we're going to bring this weekend to Fontana.
And even this early in the season, McMurray says there's only one thing on the minds of every driver.
The goal is to make the chase, to put yourself in a position that you get a shot at racing for the championship.
Marge Tashina, Fox News Radio.
That dusty old hardcover filled with humiliating pictures of people as youngins may be going the way of the TV antenna. Fewer colleges are bothering with yearbooks these days because students are more into sharing memories on Facebook. The University of Virginia is the latest to drop plans to publish following big names like Mississippi State and Purdue. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I got your forecast here for the weekend. Today, we're going to have partly sunny skies, high of 59 with west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a few showers late, and a low of 45, west-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday, it looks like we're going to have some rain, about a half inch of rainfall, high of 55, south-southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. And out there on the Monterey Bay, northeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet, and a west swell of 4 to 7 feet at 13 seconds. Tonight we've got west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, west swell 5 to 7 feet at 12 seconds, and Sunday southwest winds 5 knots becoming south in the afternoon, wind waves less than 2 feet with a west swell of 3 to 6 feet at 12 seconds. And as far as the roadways, there's nothing major to report right now as far as any hazards or accidents, but I'll be letting you know when there is. And current temperatures, 55 in Monterey, it's 56 in Salinas, 55 in Watsonville. We're at 65 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. Official time, 11:06 and 38 seconds on this Saturday, February 20th, 2010. Up next, second hour, Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Let me take you down.
Yeah.
As I'm going to
Strawberry Fields.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
I'm so upset. The program's half over. We haven't even scratched the surface of what we need to talk about today. Anyhow, Cindy and Live Oak, stay with us. We will get to your phone call after Kay's commentary.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSEO Radio. Bye.
The following is a KSEO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Congressional Republicans may resurrect Obamacare from the dead. You heard that right. Republicans in Congress may actually fall for a political trap being set by Barack Obama, designed to breathe new life into Obamacare. That is why it's imperative that we take decisive and immediate action to stop them. Many conservatives are sending messages and emails to their representatives to make sure to be aware and not fall for Obama's traps. President Obama said recently that he would convene a half-day bipartisan health care session at the White House to be televised live this month. The day is already set for Thursday, February 25th. Obamacare is dead, but he will trick the Republican leaders to help him revive it. Radio talk host Rush Limbaugh read the handwriting on the wall perfectly. He also called Obama's invitation a trap, an attempt by the president to portray Republicans as the party of no. And that is the characterization that many Republican legislators do not like. I feel differently about that. I have no problem with remaining the party of no as long as our president spends money recklessly and makes immature and destructive decisions and refuses to listen to the wishes of the people. I think it's important to say no to an administration that by its actions this past year has lost the confidence of both conservatives and many liberals also. Too bad Obama's enormous ego always gets in the way of sensible logic. Make no mistake, Obama is not calling this televised meeting to listen to opposing ideas or to make a real effort to reform health care. When asked by Katie Couric if he would agree to discard the current bill rejected by most citizens and start over, the president said no, he would not. I say the Republicans should not attend the White House meeting unless a totally new, bipartisan, realistic bill could be discussed. The Washington Post reported that Obama does not plan to scrap months of legislative effort on the issue, and he plans to come to the summit armed with the same old Democratic bill. So, it's nothing more than an underhanded attempt to play to the weakness that Republicans have exhibited time and again, a tactic that could turn his Obamacare defeat into a victory. Indeed, Republicans should stay far away from this bogus summit. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
Please feel free to speak your mind, Ma. Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. Special guests, Dr. Stan Monteith and Dr. Joel Wallach. I think we're both back on the air. Are you there, Doc?
I'm here.
Okay. And Stan, Dr. Stan is here. I'll put his mic on. And we wanted to, the alligator sort of got us going into the news here, and you wanted to respond to the vaccination causing...
causing autism.
Autism,
well,
yeah.
I would simply point out that here on this, probably Joel and I would disagree. I'm sure nutrition plays a part in this. We do know that many autistic children have benefited from specific types of diets and once they have the condition. But so often the story is, my child was perfectly all right until I got a vaccination. Now, this really started after 1990 when they began adding so many new vaccinations to the process. And certainly you have to understand that what vaccines do is trick the immune system. They trigger an immune response, but they forget to actually turn the immune response off afterwards. It's artificial, doesn't give you permanent immunity. But there's not only immune response in the body, there's a separate immune response in the brain. The brain responds differently to vaccination or to any inflammation. And so I would simply point out that today, one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental or learning disability. One in nine children has asthma. One in about 12 children has severe allergies. One in about 60 boys is autistic. One in 90 to 100 children has autism. Certainly there's an epidemic of juvenile diabetes, autoimmune disease in our children, and dementia in our elderly. And we do not see this, or see it very, very seldom in children in the Amish and Mennonite children in the United States. I don't know about Africa. I haven't seen any studies on Africa, but I suspect that they're developing an awful lot of problem there. But certainly, I think that both Dr. Wallach and I would agree that this is an epidemic, and we need extensive studies. And I will tell you, the CDC has the money and refuses to spend it to determine whether or not there's basically why Amish children don't get this disease and the rest of the children do. But let's go ahead to something else.
Well, Stan, it's very simple. I spend a lot of time in the Amish community because they're into vitamins and minerals and things, so I get asked to deal with many, many Amish health problems. One thing, as you point out, they don't have autism, and that's because these kids get weaned off of breast milk or formula onto eggs and meat and sweet potatoes for breakfast. They do not get fruity pebbles and apple juice for breakfast like everybody else. They have their own kind of dietary lifestyle. They're still putting wood ashes into their gardens because they don't use electricity and propane and natural gas, so they still use wood for fuel. They put the wood ashes in their garden, so they're getting some plant minerals that way. But maybe equally or even greater importance, these kids are getting eggs for breakfast, they're getting milk for breakfast, they're getting cheese for breakfast. You have to remember that the Amish are an offshoot from the Dutch, and they're still eating like Dutch Europeans. They still have eggs and cheese and fish and beef and goat for breakfast. And it's absolutely criminal that nobody is, let's just take a bunch of kids in Detroit and take 1,000 kids and put them on the Amish, weaning diet from, the breast milk or the formula onto the same thing the Amish kids are weaned off on, and see how many of those kids in Detroit get autism. I guarantee it'd be none.
Well, I think it ought to be done, and then I would be willing to guarantee, but only after I had a scientific study. But certainly it's a very interesting point that you raised.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Cindy in Live Oak has been waiting for quite a while. You're on the air on KSCO on the Saturday special with Dr. Stan and Dr. Wallach. Cindy, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a question. You were talking about cholesterol, and I was just wondering, I listen to what the doctors say, and as you're saying, most of the time they're wrong, but they tell us the cholesterol is really bad, and it leads to arterial sclerosis and clogged arteries. And you're saying that cholesterol is not the problem. So I was wondering, what is the connection? Is cholesterol even causing that, or is it something else?
Okay, well, I'll start off with that because I've done extensive autopsies and research, and lots of chemistries and slides and so forth. Wrote many articles on the subject, and that is, cholesterol, blood cholesterol, does not cause any arteriosclerosis, atherosclerosis, clogged arteries, stroke, thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, doesn't cause any of that. Basically, again, what causes these diseases in the modern-day parlance, the modern-day view of the medical system, is inflammation. And the inflammation that damages the lining of the arteries, which causes and results in plugged arteries and arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis, is caused by trans fatty acids, heterocyclic amines, and acrylamides and nitrosamines, which come from fried foods, margarines, cooking oils, burnt meats, and processed meats with nitrates and nitrites in them. These are the sources of clogged arteries. Cholesterol has nothing to do with it. Now, again, you'll find wood ashes in a place where there's been a forest fire. You can't blame the forest fire on the wood ashes. You cannot blame plugged arteries on cholesterol, although there's a little bit in there, in the blood clot. But the blood clot was formed because people were deficient in omega-3s,
or they had a ratio problem between omega-3, 6s, and 9s, and the lining of the arteries were irritated and inflamed by free radicals coming from fried foods, margarines, cooking oils, meat cooked well done, burnt animal fats, superheated carbohydrates such as French fries and croutons and pretzels. Oreo cookies is a bad one. That little cream filling in between the two chocolate cookies is 100% synthetic trans fatty acids. It's been built that way for shelf life. Back when I was a kid, the icing in between the two chocolate cookies and Oreo cookie was made from butter and cream. But at room temperature, it would melt and make the paper bag oily, really look bad on the shelf. So they had to find something that would make the Oreo cookie withstand room temperatures, and they came up with the trans fatty acids, which are corn oil that's had hydrogen bubbled through it. And it looks and tastes good, but by golly, it will clog your arteries and increase your risk of cancer.
And the only thing I would add to that is there are an awful lot of people who have chronic infections like the mycoplasma that Joel had mentioned, and there's chlamydia, chronic chlamydia, other things that produce inflammation, and it is the inflammation that predisposes the arteries to arteriosclerosis. And we could spend a whole hour on this, I'm sure. If you go into the background of why doctors believe cholesterol leads to hardening of the arteries, it's a fascinating story, which will run out of time. But basically what Joel says is right. It is the inflammation that predisposes the arteriosclerosis. So, but everybody believes, it's sort of like, you know, people believe the world is flat. And when somebody comes along and says the world isn't flat, why, immediately you get angry with them, because everybody knows it. Everybody knows that the hardening of the arteries due to cholesterol, and unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, it isn't true. Do not let them drive your cholesterol down.
How could this colossal duping have endured for so many years?
Because you never hear the truth, because the media is controlled, and access to information for the doctors is controlled. It takes a long time, as it did with Semmelweis, to convince people.
So we all agree, Doc and Dr. Stan and I, and probably everybody agree, that with the internet now, there's no barriers to entry. There's no barriers to information.
This is why people have the opportunity now to learn about their health, and they're going to have to start looking after their own health. This is what it's all about. That's what Joel is trying to do. This is what we're trying to do. We may disagree on a few little things, but we all agree that so much of what we've been told just isn't true.
Amen.
You're absolutely right, Stan. So okay. I'm with you 100% there.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. By the way, if you want to call us, we do have some lines available at 479-1080, 479-1080. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's the Saturday special with MZ, Dr. Stan Monteith, and Dr. Joel Wallach.
Let me just mention that, you know, certainly my wife came from a farming community. Everybody there had cream on the cereal at morning. They ate fried eggs, and they ate bacon. They ate all these terrible things, and they lived to be 90 or 100 years old. And, of course, it wasn't the eggs that were producing all the problems. It wasn't the cholesterol that was producing all the problems. And we've simply been lied to.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines now. Joe in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hi. I'll make it quick, as quick as I can. Autism is a mineral deficiency of selenium and manganese. Anybody can look it up and find that out. But it's also to do with ADHD as well. I was diagnosed with it, just how I found out that this mineral deficiency was there, and I fixed it. So that's the answer to that. As for how people deal with it nowadays, everybody's lazy. They want to give kids Ritalin, Melaril, Siler. It's a drug administration. It has to happen that way as far as people are concerned. Teachers are too lazy to teach the students.
Okay.
And the whole thing is about this autism and how it starts with the shots. I can tell you, okay, it's what happens is when they gave us the shots as kids, back when we were kids, they said these shots are good for life. Well, if you look at life, life comes from the human being to the next human being that develops through them. causing that shot to carry through the DNA pattern. You continually, repeatedly abuse a medicine as such, as put mercuries and stuff in it to make it work better, as they say, is becoming the dumbing down of America. And it's an abusiveness to the immune system to continually put the same shot in each child. And I think the Drug and Food Administration feeds you food for child abuse for doing such, because this booster shot only needs to be given once every 10 years.
What do you think, Doc Wallach and Dr. Stan? You agree with what Joe says?
Well, you have to agree with some of what he says. There's all kinds of problems we have here. Number one, vaccines are not perfect. Obviously, there's problems with vaccines. There's every kind of thing you can see that happens, but it's a small percentage. Vaccines are not the problem. And when you take vaccines, when you're a year, year and a half, 2 years old, and you're switching from milk, breast milk, and formulas onto solid food, there's many things happening there. It's not just the vaccinations. And, of course, nobody wants to admit that they've switched the kid from breast milk or formula onto Fruity Pebbles and apple juice being the cause of the problem. Because if that were so, the pediatrician would tell them, or the OBGYN would tell them. And everybody wants to point fingers at the vaccinations. And, again, I'll point out that in Europe and Asia, which I'm very familiar with because my wife is from China, they get all the same batch numbers, the same manufacturers for these vaccinations for diphtheria and tetanus and so forth, the typical childhood shots. And they don't have the problem because, again, these kids are eating eggs and rice and fish and meat and goat meat and cheese and so on for breakfast. They're not getting dry cereal and sugar cereal and apple juice. And it's such a simple difference between the people like the Amish. Here it is right in our own country. They're switching from, even though they don't get vaccinations, but they also switch to eggs and cheese and meat for breakfast instead of cereal and juice.
Okay.
So this, to me, is where it's at. Obviously, anything that goes on bad with the brain, certainly selenium deficiency and magnesium deficiency and calcium deficiency and copper deficiency, every vitamin you can think of, including the B vitamins and vitamin A, D, E, and K, and every mineral. In fact, there is a mineral called lithium. There's a mineral called gallium. These are all essential for brain function. And if any of them are missing, you're going to have a screwed up brain. So if you're missing those
lithium,
things.
Lithium supplements are good for depression, I think, right?
Yeah, depression, yeah. Schizophrenia, for bipolar, for anxiety attacks. And this goes back toward the water from Lourdes, France. People who would have emotional diseases, they go there and they drink these healing waters, and they'd be miraculously cured. And that's because Lourdes, the water of Lourdes, France, has the highest level of lithium in it, any lithia water in the world. And so the medical doctors got the idea, or the pharmaceutical companies, whoever it was, said, hey, let's bottle this and sell it as a cure for depression. And that's where the idea of the use of lithium came from, was the waters of Lourdes, France. And so the same thing is true with brain function. We learned from preemies that were born, 1.25 pounds, their lungs wouldn't work because they couldn't make prostaglandins. And so you'd have to give them very high doses of omega-3s and for the prostaglandins to be made to keep their lungs open so they could breathe and survive. Well, what they found out was that kids who are born preemies, when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, they have 15 to 25 higher IQ points than babies that are born 9 months full term. You say, well, how could that be? You'd think it'd be the other way around. Well, that's because these preemies are getting extremely high mega doses of omega-3s, which are the raw materials for the brain to work. So, again, I would really urge the mothers, because, and here's one. I know Stan will back me up on this one. There's not a single, with the exception of mine, there's not a single prenatal supplement out there that has omega-3 essential fatty acids in it. It's criminal that OBGYNs allow that to go on. Every OBGYN should, and I know Stan's going to get angry with me here, but I think every OBGYN who doesn't insist that the mothers make sure that they're eating eggs and take omega-3 essential fatty acids and the Mighty 90, and the OBGYNs should have to pay for all the special cost of autistic kids, kids with cleft palate, heart defects, Down syndrome, because it's all caused by malnutrition of the embryo, including autism, that kids are born with.
Okay.
They're born normal, and they get switched from normal to autistic, then this is their diet, not the vaccine.
We have Rick in Scotts Valley, Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, Juanita in Watsonville on the line. We have a few lines open at 479-1080. I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, Dr. Stan, but I have my own little EFA story to relate to the audience here. That's
No, I would just simply say that the OBGYN doctors are good people, but there's so much that they don't know. We saw that recently when, of course, we had the so-called H1N1 epidemic, which was a media epidemic, wasn't a real epidemic. Very few people died. They're still lying to us about the incidence of the disease. But the obstetricians were told, oh, this is a terrible disease. Pregnant women are going to get it. The children are going to be affected. You know, that's why you got to vaccinate the pregnant women. And obstetricians all across America encourage their pregnant patients to actually have, you know, take the H1N1 epidemic, not just a shot of that, but of the seasonal flu, because they were told to by the CDC. And yet the scientific studies show that down the line, their children will have a marked increase of schizophrenia and autism. But the doctors did it because they were told to. I think they had to get to the scientific studies or listen to people who actually looked at the scientific studies and understand they did irreparable harm. I wouldn't sue them for it, but they one day are going to have to stand before the bar of God's judgment.
Okay, here is my quick story. I've actually, I might have shared this before. Nikki, remember two or three Saturday specials ago when during the 11 o'clock break, I went to relieve nature's internal pressure. And I came back and I said, guess what I just did? And you said, what? And I said, I passed a kidney stone. And you said, come on, you're lying. I said, no, it's true. I passed a kidney stone. It was a pretty big kidney stone, too, that I didn't even know I had. Now, last year at this time, I was writhing. I had to miss the something that I would never miss unless I was dying, which I almost was. And that's the Longevity Convention. I had to miss the Longevity Convention this time last year. And it's because I had horrible, horrible kidney stones that I was passing. And it's what people say, what you've heard them say, there's nothing more painful. And, you know, women say that childbirth is easier than passing a kidney stone.
And don't say anything else. Because, I mean, you know,
hello?
It may be.
Yeah, well, Doc, hold
you
on.
You guys don't know.
Yeah. You can't hear.
But
what,
it's painful.
I'll put Doc on hold so he can hear what you're saying here. So anyhow, yeah, it's painful. Okay.
I get it. Yeah, it's painful.
So
it's in the top few pains, right?
Right. And okay. And I cannot describe how painful it was from a year ago. Now, this time I passed several larger kidney stones than I did last year that made me feel like I wanted to die from the pain. And it just came right out. I didn't even know I had it. That's why I was so surprised when I came back from the break and said, "Guess what I did?" And I passed a kidney stone. And you didn't believe it.
Maybe it's getting easier.
No, here's the deal.
What's the deal?
The only thing I am doing differently now that I wasn't doing a year ago is taking 14 to 17 EFAs that I've had for 15 years because I've been involved with Doc Wallach and the product, the essential fatty acid and the EFA pluses. I've just been religiously taking those, and it's got to have just lubricated my system. Now, I've never heard anybody say that. I've heard him say you take EFAs for, you know, brain health and all that kind. I've never heard anybody say that EFAs will lubricate your system, but I'm speaking from personal experience. How is it that a person could pass a larger kidney stone a year afterwards than the kind that made them fold over in pain and not feel a darn thing? Okay, so had you ever heard that, Doc?
Okay, well, the same events are taking place when you have asthma as when you have a kidney stone, because you don't have enough omega-3s, and the omega-3s are the raw materials for your body to make what's called prostaglandins. And prostaglandins will relax the bronchi so you can breathe better, and you take the omega-3s, and you take the magnesium and manganese and other minerals, and asthma will go away. Same thing is true when you have a kidney stone, which is caused by a raging osteoporosis calcium deficiency. That kidney stone
just the opposite of what a lot of the doctors tell you.
Exactly.
They say you have too much calcium when it's not enough.
Well, they're wrong there. But at any rate, what happens is you get a muscle spasm in the ureter, which is the tube that goes from the kidney to the bladder, and the ureter is 100% kind of smooth muscle. And so when you don't have the prostaglandins to keep that open and relaxed, you get a spasm of that ureter muscle around that kidney stone. It's extremely painful. That's what causes the pain. Not necessarily back up the urine behind it, but just the spasm, the cramping of that ureter smooth muscle around that kidney stone. Well, when you take 12,000, 15,000, 20,000 milligrams of the omega-3s, which you did, that produces the prostaglandins, which then relaxes the ureter, and suddenly the hose is bigger, and so the larger kidney stones go through. It doesn't lubricate it per se, but you're kind of on the right track in that the omega-3s allow the body to produce enough prostaglandins to relax that smooth muscle in the ureter, and so a larger kidney stone can pass.
Well, anyhow, is it possible to take too much omega-3s and 6s?
Well, what will happen is if you take too much omega-3s, you'll see oil floating in the toilet when you have a bowel movement.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like oil in chicken soup, right?
Which I've seen that.
Okay, well, you might want to cut back on your omega-3s.
But, I mean, so if you don't mind that, then it's no big deal.
If you don't mind that, I'd rather kind of err on the side of excess
here. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, nobody's ever been killed by too many omega-3s unless somebody freezes them and puts them down in a muzzle loader and shoots you with them.
Okay, great. It's a Saturday special with Dr. Stan and Dr. Wallach here. Want to call us? It's 479-1080. Jan in Scotts Valley, or Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. I wanted to ask you gentlemen a question I've been curious about. I'm wondering how safe is the produce we get from other countries? Because I've heard in the past, this was quite a number of years ago, that, for example, that China was composting their human waste and using it on their products. And who knows what's going on in a lot of these other countries.
Good question. Never heard that before. What do you think?
Human waste, the old honey pots are used to be called, have been used in China and Japan and Southeast Asia for tens of thousands of years. And it comes down to you have to prepare the food properly. You have to cook it properly. It doesn't take much, 141 degrees, which is kind of like pasteurization for a couple of minutes. And lo and behold, you can do very well. Obviously, you want to wash the vegetables and not leave human waste on the surface of your salad, right? But this is used all over the world in the third world countries who actually have a much longer lifespan than we do. They live to be an average of 90, the people who recycle human waste and use it as fertilizer. They actually live to be an average of 90. We live to be an average of 75. They live 15 years longer than we do. They actually have 100-year-old per 250. We have 100-year-old per 10,000. They have five generations living in the same household. And they do take in 25 times the antioxidants that we take in every day. We take in 1,500 auric points. They take in 25,000 auric points. So, and there's a value of recycling whatever good things might be in the human waste, or it's a manure. What's the difference between manure from humans and manure from horses, or manure from goats, or manure from chickens? Use as fertilizer as long as you're using good hygiene in cleaning up your vegetables before you cook them or eat them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you about that. Basically, from my schooling, I've discovered that we should all go back to the farm because everything we needed was there, the food. We grew our own food. We knew what chemicals or what, you know, was put on that. You didn't have to go to a gym for exercise. You know, the grandparents and parents were home. The grandparents and the younger children were able to, you know, that's a perfect combination there. There's so much better than living in the cities away from our families and stuff.
Jan, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Appreciate it. Rick in Scotts Valley, you're on the air on KSCO.
Thanks. This is a great program. Hey, I'm 60 years old. My dad was involved back in the days of Bob Hoffman and Nutribio and all the initiators, like, and even Nutrilite and Amway and all that. So I feel pretty good because I don't get sick. I just want those things, and people ask me, why don't you ever get sick? And I don't know. But we ate beef all our lives on the Idaho farm, and then I moved down to California when I was a senior. And I kind of just do what I do because my body asks me to do it. I crave meat and I eat it but I love vegetables. I love fruit. I eat so much fruit. It's incredible. But, I think both of you two should get together and start a movement to train the medical profession and along with the tea parties, against taxes, not against taxes, but just it's time for a change. So you guys get together and start a movement in unison with the Tea Party. You could call it the Green Tea Party, if you will, and get involved with, because I'll bet you anything that the biggest majority of Tea Party people out there are health, everybody else calls health fanatics, that we believe in the auric value, believe in finding that miracle.
Interesting point, Rick. I'll bet that's true.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not hard to listen to Dr. Stan. His website is radioliberty.com. It's 89.9 FM here in Santa Cruz, right, is your radio station. Plus you're on, what, 60 or between 60 and 100 other stations all around the country and the world on shortwave. And
only about 60, but anyway, we're fortunate to have a voice in times like this. And I'm glad I don't have to travel across the country giving 300 lectures every day, as Joel does. It's much easier to sit and just do 5 hours of talk radio. So,
and Doc is does that too. He doesn't do 5 hours a day, but he does at least 2 hours a day, not counting the special interviews that that he's on various local stations. But the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program is fed live each weekday from our studios here at KSCO in Santa Cruz, California. And if you go to doc.kfco.com from any computer with an internet connection in the world, you can you can download show notes and search the files that we have for various conditions and diseases and so forth. And so I'd say both of you gentlemen are utilizing technology and to get the word out, and there's nowhere to go except more of that, more of the same, I think. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's a Saturday special. 479-1080 is the phone number. We do need to take a commercial break, but who's our next caller? I guess it would be Juanita in Watsonville. Juanita, you're on the air, please.
Oh, yes, thank you. Dr. Wallach, do you ever address, I don't get to hear your program every day, but do you ever address the parasite the diseases that parasites cause in the human body? And also, I read in a book that they benefit from the vitamins and minerals that people take. Is that true?
Oh, well, certainly parasites require vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fatty acids, just like other organisms, right? They're living organisms, so they do require the nutrients just like every other organism. Now, they will, as the parasites are known to do, they will actually parasitize your food that you eat, whether it's proteins or fats or carbohydrates or vitamins, minerals, omega-3s. They will use that for their own use and thereby reduce your intake of them. Or they'll just suck your blood and cause anemia by reducing your iron level and folic acid and B12 levels.
But they will did you finish?
Parasites are easy to avoid. Number one, personal hygiene is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You want to be sure to wash your hands many times, especially while preparing food, and also eating food and cooking food. But also running around barefoot in the summertime outside in the grass is not a good thing. We almost eliminated hookworm and roundworms just by kids wearing shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because hookworms and roundworms, the intermediate stages come through the skin. Also, you don't want to leave your dog if they run around outside and contact other dogs. You know, they lick each other's bottoms, and then you let them lick your face. they're going to transfer worm eggs from another dog's bottom to your mouth. And so I'd be really, you know, careful about letting the dog lick you in the face that runs around outside. But if you do get parasites, or if you're curious, actually, in my book called Let's Play Doctor, there's a whole chapter on home laboratory, and it teaches you how to do your own parasite diagnoses, whether it's the one-cell parasites or the worm-type parasites. And then there are herbs that you can take, as Dr. Stan says, you want to do this yourself. It's very easy to determine if you have single-cell or worm-type parasites, and it's very easy to use two things. You have to use the proper herbs to sort of halfway anesthetize or tranquilize the worm so they let go and don't hold on. And then you want to take a laxative to flush them out while they're half asleep. And the I think it's chapter 7 in the book, Let's Play Doctor, has how to diagnose them and how to treat them using natural herbs.
One more thing. We all have parasites. Is that not true?
Well, certainly, I think the human body...
a lot of people are under the impression, well, I don't have any, but we all do.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of people live in denial, aren't there?
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
So here we go. Thank you for calling. Here's Ralph and Salinas, our next caller to the Saturday special. Ralph, you're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Doc.
Hey.
Good morning.
I had a question. My brother, he's 58 years old, and he's been a diabetic for quite a few years, and he just found out that he needs a kidney transplant. I guess his doctors almost killed him because they weren't taking care of him like they should be. He weighs about 155 pounds.
Let me ask you to call during the week on Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and I'll go into detail here.
Yeah.
But you bring up a really good point. Generically, doctors believe when you have kidney failure, oftentimes as a result of diabetes or other problems, they think that the kidney is failing. In most cases, as much as 95% of the cases, the kidney is actually good. Why you have, quote, kidney failure, unquote, and they want to put you on dialysis and give you a kidney transplant is because what's called the afferent arteries, which are the microscopic arteries that carry blood into the filtering units, are plugged. And oftentimes they will release a hormone called renin, R-E-N-I-N, to make the blood pressure go up to try and drive more blood through those filtering units. Well, all you have to do is open up those microscopic arteries, let more blood into the filtering units. Kidney function can go from 15 to 100% in a couple of weeks to a couple of months. And the blood pressure comes down because the filtering units stop pumping out renin. And so call next week on Dead Doctors and Lying. I'll give you a lot of details.
Phone number is 685-1080 in area 831, 685-1080. Next caller, Theodora. Theodora, you're on the air.
And excellent show.
Thank you.
And while these two wonderful doctors are doing their best to tell us what we need to take to heal ourselves, we've got gentlemen in Congress, including a failed presidency candidate, Mr. McCain, who just introduced a bill that essentially will take away our access to these wonderful nutrients. And I wanted you to comment on that, as well as the international effort to take away our access, and that's the Codex Alimentarius, because people really need to know that taking good nutrition is a threat to the empire.
The pharmaceutical industry, exactly.
And so please educate everybody in what we can do to fight this.
I'm sure
you
both have plenty to say on that topic.
Dr. Okay, Stan, I'll take it. I'll listen on the air.
Why don't you start, Dr. Stan?
Well, I think what we have to do is get people to understand that we have a constitution. The whole idea is unconstitutional. There's certain specific things that federal government can do. There are 18 things that are enumerated in Section 8 of Article 1 of the Constitution, and everything else is limited. This whole idea is unconstitutional, and what we need is for the states to start saying, we're not going to go along with you. You're overstepping your bounds. You're damaging the health of the our people. We know what's behind it. It's the pharmaceutical industry, because they don't want the competition, and they don't care how many people die because of it. And what we need to do is get rid of most of the senators and most of the congressmen next November, everyone we can, because these people have sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution and defend it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the wording. And unfortunately, we got an awful lot of enemies, domestic enemies, in Congress today. So certainly we should not let them do it. We need to use this as another vehicle to mobilize the people to take the power away from Washington, D.C. and return it to the states and to the communities where it ought to be.
Okay, Doc Wallach.
Yeah, I agree 100% with Stan. Certainly this is not a new thing. The medical profession, the pharmaceutical industry, and U.S. representatives and senators who accept PAC money and who are lobbied heavily by the pharmaceutical industry have been trying to make vitamins and minerals prescription items since the 1940s, right after the Second World War, when they came up with penicillin. We don't need these things at high doses. If you want them at high doses, go to your doctor, he'll write you a prescription. Well, there are groups that have been fighting. There's group of people that used to be called the National Health Federation. And the National Health Federation actually had lobbyists, and they raised money to hire lawyers to actually fight in Congress and sue everybody in sight and run around and getting people to write bills to get people to sign on to the bills and petitions. But unfortunately, the people who are members of the House of Representatives and the Senate have their own agendas because they get paid and lobbied to do other things, right? And so they've come to the point where they don't listen to the people anymore. And so, again, Dr. Stan is exactly correct. What we need to do is everybody has to get everybody they know to stop using the medical profession, to stop using the pharmaceutical industry, and to vote everybody out in November. They got to vote everybody out who's up for reelection. Vote them out. And if anybody says that they're going to vote for making vitamins, minerals, prescription items, then you can't vote them in. And that comes down to the people, because the states, people who are senators, that come from the states. People who are governors come from the states. And they get lobbied by pharmaceutical industry also. They get lobbied by doctors also. And so the only way it's going to happen is if we stop using a failed and corrupt system and we stop the people who are in power by voting them out. And everybody, I think the average person should run for the Senate. The average person should run for the U.S. House of Representatives. The reason why we get really crazy people in there, they have a lot of money, and they can buy their way to the top, and you have no idea who you're dealing with. But if your neighbor in your neighborhood runs for Congress, if you live next door to them for 20 years, you know whether they keep their lawn well, you know if they get their car towed off because they couldn't make the payments. And you know if they're fooling around with somebody else's wife or a prostitute, right? And so here's a case where you have to, in fact, make sure that we vote out everybody that comes up for re-election this year in November and stop using the failed and corrupt system. If you don't use them, they can't justify funding.
Okay, Nikki, let's go to our break here for the second hour here. You're listening to the Saturday Special with Doc Wallach and Dr. Monteith, MZ here hosting the program. We will be back in just a few minutes and close out the program. John in Santa Cruz and Helen in Scotts Valley, stay on. We'll get you on the air.
For your farm or large property, you'll be amazed at what you can do with John Deere utility tractors from Pringle Tractor. Check out their lineup of 6D series utility tractors with powerful high torque, low emission PowerTech diesel engines. They have the power and handling to tackle the tough work. Or upsize to a John Deere 6030 series or small frame 7000 series. They come with a full frame design for greater durability, and they have the industry's most comfortable cab. These tractors are built to last and priced to move, so stop in today and let the experts at Pringle Tractor help you find the equipment you need. Pringle Tractor also has the parts and service you need to keep your operation running. You don't have to go far for your new John Deere. Just get to Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or visit them online at PringleTractor.com, your local John Deere dealer for over 50 years.
Hello, I'm Congressman Sam Farr. It's tax time, and individuals who make under $14,000 a year and families making under $49,000 a year can take advantage of free volunteer income tax assistance. These are trained volunteers. They help you claim all your tax credits, including the earned income tax credit. And refunds can take less than 2 weeks. For more information in Santa Cruz, call 460-2359. And in Monterey County, call 211.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. I thought I'd share a few statistics with you. Do you know how long a frog can hold its breath? It averages around 4 minutes. What's the pH content of soil supposed to be? It's around 6.5. When you look at a bag of fertilizer, it has three numbers on it. What's the first number represent? That would be nitrogen. Do you know how many nails the average roof requires? 7,000. How many gallons of water does it take to wash your clothes in a year? 2,000 gallons. A pound of wood has how many BTUs in it? That would be 8,600. Do you know where Ceres, California is? It's 127 miles from Santa Cruz. What's the percentage of roofing companies in the United States that will be out of business after they've installed a roof? Believe it or not, it's 80%. Here at Knox Roofing, we have information for you you just can't get anywhere else. Okay, give us a call at 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
Closing 6-7 minutes of the Saturday special. Let's go to John in Santa Cruz. You're on the air on KSCO, John.
Hi.
Hey.
I was calling. I was kind of curious about some information. I was told recently that I had granulomas disease as a child and that it was never treated. What is this? What does it do in the long run untreated?
Okay. We want to, I'm going to invite you to call this, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie program.
Well, what is granulomas? That's the whole question. What is it?
I'm not interested in telling you, and I've told people before, don't call the program today and knock us off the track here. That's not what we're talking about. Helen in Scotts Valley, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is in regards to the population diminishing that the powers that be are trying to get rid of many, many people in order to be, you know, and be in charge without so many people to handle. But I heard Dr. Monteith mention in a list of things that are that people have that aren't properly being taken care of, and one of them was Lyme disease, and we've had quite a bit of stuff going on with that, but politically, they don't want to admit that this is something that can be transferable person to person sexually, from mother to child in the uterus. And I just wondered what all is known about that as far as the cover up. Lyme disease.
That's a great Dr. Stan question. Go ahead.
Well, you only need to talk to somebody who has the disease to find out how difficult it is to get it treated. There are about 2 million cases out there.
Right.
Everything suggests that this originated in a government laboratory at a place called Plum Island, which is at the inlet adjacent to Lyme, Connecticut, where the disease was first identified. Now it's spread from Lyme, Connecticut, all across America. We have it here in the ticks in Santa Cruz County. And it's not simply the Lyme, the Borrelia spirochete. It's now in the multiple infections of these ticks, and there's mycoplasma and 3 or 4 other different things. It's a terrible disabling disease, and the doctors are being told, well, oh my goodness, they have a blood test. They don't have the blood test. There's nothing there. And these people go from doctor to doctor to doctor as they get sicker and sicker. Mm-hmm. If you can find a Lyme-educated doctor, a doctor who really understands this disease, and get onto a long-term regime of antibiotics and, of course, other things to boost your immune system. Don't depend entirely on the antibiotics, but a diet certainly of the herbs, other things that will increase your immune response. people do get over this disease. Maybe they're going to have to take supportive treatment for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. But this is a new disease, and there is a cover-up on it at mm-hmm. every level, and most doctors do not understand that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Dr. Wallach, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I think Dr. Stan's exactly right here. You have to take a complete approach here, support the immune system, and antibiotics to me would be the last resort. And, you know, you can use things like colloidal silver, and you can use things like the aromatherapy oils, which the spirochete for Lyme's disease have no ability to become resistant to because they contain as many as 200 to 1,000 different fractions, whereas an antibiotic has one molecule, therefore making it very easy for the spirochete, the bug, to, in fact, find a way to be resistant to it.
Okay.
Okay, so you have to have an army, the Marines, the Air Force, and everything, the Navy, to defeat an enemy, and you need to do the same thing with Lyme's disease. It's a multifaceted approach.
Okay, Helen in Scotts Valley, thanks for your call. The Saturday special. Last caller today will be John in Salinas. Go ahead, John, you're on.
Hey, I want to comment. When Dr. Wallach mentioned some of the doctors are inebriated and operating under the influence, I just had one experience to share, so I'm not saying it's a sweeping generality, but, you know, I was in surgery one time collecting evidence of a gunshot wound out of a gangbanger, and the anesthesiologist was intoxicated, sitting on a stool, passed out. It was very disconcerting. And I asked, is this normal? I mean, is this, should we call someone else in here? It wasn't my place to really speak up so much, but everyone just, he said, no, alarm will go off if something changes, or an alert would activate, and I'm like, okay. So.
Well, I would tell you, I've been in surgery many times. I could think of perhaps on one occasion when one of my assistants was on drugs. I know of a couple of anesthesiologists who would actually were drinking. But believe me, if the medical profession recognized somebody was taking drugs, we got rid of them. We did it very quietly, but we reported them, and we got their medical license removed until they either got rehabilitated and could come back, or they were removed permanently. So it sort of happens, but this is not a major problem.
Thanks for the call, John and Salinas. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Thank you, Doc Wallach. I had a great time. It's a wonderful program that I think we were able to do today. I think it's great that you guys
thanks
were able
for your
to
hospitality.
Get together. That's it, and we got to get together and do it again sometime. That's it, folks. That's it. This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight and on demand at KSCO.com.
And that's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here is Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Alexander Haig has died. He lived a life in the political spotlight, including stints as President Nixon's chief of staff and Secretary of State to Ronald Reagan. His starkest time in the spotlight was probably after President Reagan was shot.
In the chaotic hours following the attempted assassination of President Reagan, Haig uttered what became his most famous statement.
As of now, I am in control here. In the White House.
The remark misrepresented the line of presidential succession and made it easier for critics to portray Haig as a usurper of power.
Fox's James Rosen reporting. Secretary Haig died at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. He was 85 years old. The latest White House proposals on health care reform will be released on Monday. Meantime, it was all about reform in the battle of the weekly addresses.
I hope they come in a spirit of good faith. I don't want to see this meeting turn into political theater, with each side simply reciting talking points and trying to score political points.
President Obama saying he wants all invitees to his bipartisan health care reform summit next week to come with open minds. Republicans sounding a different tune.
Americans are demanding that President Obama and the Democrats in control of Congress scrap their misguided plan of a government takeover of health care. They don't want a 2,000-page bill that threatens jobs and drives up health premiums. They already have enough challenges to deal with in their daily lives.
That's Michigan Representative Dave Camp speaking for the GOP in their weekly response. A judge has picked 12 September 11th first responders. Their cases will be the first to go to trial over illnesses caused by all the debris from the World Trade Center. More than 9,000 people have filed suit against New York City. The initial group includes the family of a firefighter who died of throat cancer and another firefighter who wound up needing a lung transplant. There have been several thousand cases waiting to go to trial. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Every day, more people wake up with America's number one morning news show. Breaking news you need to know, guests you have to see, and stories that have everyone talking. Steve, Brian, and Gretchen, the fair and balanced news team more Americans trust.
You get news like you don't see it on other channels. We have a conversation with America.
The difference with Fox and Friends is that we also bring you tons of fun, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else.
Weekdays, wake up to Friends. Wake up to Fox and Friends. Only on Fox. Smart, tough, trusted. Megyn Kelly covers every story, every event on America Live. Digging deeper, debating key issues, discussing the topics impacting you.
Our mission is to get you the facts fair and balanced.
There are two sides to every story. Only one show delivers both fair and balanced. Watch America Live with Megyn Kelly, weekdays only on Fox News Channel.
We don't judge, we let you decide.
It's a busy day in Vancouver. Let's go live to the Olympics and Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
Karen, American skiing star Lindsay Vonn landed a bronze medal in the women's Super G Alpine event. Afterwards, she said she obviously wished she could have won gold, but is just happy to be on the podium. Vonn did win a gold in the downhill event, but in the combined, she wiped out on the slalom part. Tonight, short track speed skater Apollo Anton Ono could make history. It's the 1,000-meter event, and if Ono medals, he'll become the most decorated American Winter Olympian in history. Also coming up today, speed skater Shawnee Davis and Chad Hedrick, both Olympic medalists, compete in the 1,500-meter, Karen.
Thanks, Jessica. It is continued war in Afghanistan as American and Afghan troops push into the southern town of Marja, hoping to flush out the Taliban. One Marine describes it as hurling lead all day. Afghan President Hamid Karzai, at the opening of the Afghan parliament, said progress is being made on keeping civilians safe. It appears the Taliban didn't get the memo.